Bonjour et bienvenue à tous pour cette nouvelle
interview. Hello.
Dr. Michael Leitman. Bonjour, Rav.
We have a talk with Dr. Michael Leitman. Hello, Dr. Leitman. Hello, everyone. It's a real pleasure to meet. We missed you. I missed you too.
Okay. Donc, sans plus tarder, je n'ai pas besoin de vous représenter.
And with no further ado, I don't have to present you. You're Dr. Michael Leitman, the Kabbalist who gives lessons. Yourself, you studied with the Rabash, who is Bala Sulam's son. You already know who that is, and you know all of his writings. And with God's help, I would like to start with, can you remind me, who is a Kabbalist? What is a Kabbalist? A Kabbalist is a person that learns about the system of nature as a whole, what it is, and how can we manage our life, especially our social life, in such a way that we'll feel good. That's it. All in all, a Kabbalist studies what goes on in society, in nature as a whole. He studies the laws of nature and the laws of human society and how can mankind identify with nature. What does a Kabbalist want to show people? How to live a good life. Okay. What does it mean to live a good life? Live a good life. It's how can they be connected in such a harmony that also all of nature is in harmony. And then there'll be balance between mankind and nature, and everything will be great. Does it mean that people have no problems, no health problems, no money problems? Nothing. Everything's going to be beautiful and great. If everything's going to be balanced, that there will be no negative forces coming from any place, that everything's going to be balanced, the plus and the minus, then sure, everything's going to be great. Everyone's going to be healthy, happy, living a good life. No one will be lacking anything. Really, a person will also feel himself living, and not even that, like he's dead, but he won't even feel that he dies, that he's only passing from one state to the next degree, and so on. Will everyone feel like a baby in his mother's arms? Yeah? Why don't we feel this way now? We did not yet achieve a society that will be like a mother, that we annul ourselves towards society and it keeps us like a mother. Why are there so few Kabbalists in the world? Only now we're starting to feel that we're lacking, that mankind's lacking the wisdom of Kabbalah, that mankind's erring all the time, not knowing where to go, is failing all the time. And only in our times do we begin to feel that we're missing this knowledge in the wisdom of Kabbalah. And therefore, from this point on, we need to raise many Kabbalists for them to explain to all of mankind how to enter harmony with nature. Why are there so few students? We say that there are about 2 million around the world, but, you know, compared with 8 billion, it's nothing. On the one hand, it's true, but on the other hand, I don't think that it's enough or it's not enough. Whoever wants can come and study. And therefore, as much as we can publicize, as much as we can accept people in order to organize them, in order to bring them to a state where they will learn what does balance with nature mean, how to reach a balanced life, then we do it. And if there are no other people who do it, then Why doesn't the Creator awaken more and more people, millions, for them to come and study with Nebuch? Probably the general system doesn't need it. The general system of all of mankind and all of nature, the still, the vegetative, and the animate, with the entire universe and everything else, doesn't need more Kabbalists in the meantime. But still, if I studied with my teacher, and all in all, when I came to him, he had 5-6 students. Later, I brought him another more or less 40 students. Then today, we already have 2 million, you know, bit by bit. Rav, Dr. Lightman, there are people in Africa that are very close to nature. They're familiar with the plants. They know what kind of weather there's going to be. They even know how to make it rain. They know how to talk with nature. If I know all of this, does it mean that I'm a Kabbalist? No, it doesn't mean that you're a Kabbalist. You only know how to discover all of these forces that exist in the nature of the still, the vegetative, and the animate, suppose. When you look at nature, the still, the vegetative, the animate, and accordingly you discover certain forces, changes in nature, there are such. Look, meteorologist, when he looks at the clouds, he's going to tell you what's going to happen. Yeah, someone else who looks at animals is going to, and he can tell you what's going to happen with them and so on. It's all in all the wisdom of nature. A Kabbalist, it's not that he understands or knows nature and also human nature, human beings, but he knows how to connect people for them to be in a round system, in a good, nice, complete system between them. This is actually what the Kabbalists' work is. But the people that I'm talking about in Africa, if tomorrow there's going to be a drought, they can do some ceremony and rain will come down. A meteorologist doesn't know how to do it. So they are in contact with the force of nature. It's not the same force we're talking about here. No, it's not the same force, no. They influence nature. And here we're influencing human nature against human nature, that people, they don't want to connect. And a Kabbalist teaches them how to derive a force from nature that will connect them. It's against nature, opposite. But why does the wisdom of Kabbalah talk about the law? It talks about the laws of nature, so there's another nature. Yes, there's the hidden. It's a different nature. Okay. Another question. In Africa, we respect our forefathers, the people there pray to their forefathers. They say that we only have to pray to these people, to our forefathers. But in parallel, the wisdom of Kabbalah says that it also speaks about the forefathers. Is there some kind of comparison between these two approaches? Which? To pray for the forefathers, to the forefathers. What do you mean by the forefathers? In Africa, if there's a problem, they perform a certain ceremony and they call upon their forefathers. No, not at all. In the wisdom of Kabbalah, such things don't exist. In the wisdom of Kabbalah, we have to draw from nature a force that connects us. And the more it connects us, the more we enter a better feeling, a nice action, and so on, a good future. Only the force of connection. But in the wisdom of Kabbalah, there is also the concept of the forefathers, our forefathers. What is that? No, we don't summon their spirits, their souls, no such thing. Again, we're turning to nature in order to derive the power of connection from it that'll help us to also be connected. And in that, I don't see that this is something that the Africans are doing, and the fact is that they're all the time in war with one another. I'd like to ask a question that's repeating itself all the time. In Africa, people talk about mysticism, about things like that. A student's asking, a person who crossed the Mahsom, is he protected from mysticism, from things like that, from different attacks? No, he's not protected by anything. He only rose to a new degree, and he ascends with others in peace and good. He's also in the system. He depends on the system in which he is. The wisdom of Kabbalah doesn't do wonders. It's not tricks or something. But can't the wisdom of Kabbalah protect a person from that? Because in Africa, it's a law. We're all in all in nature. And if you think under the laws of nature, and if you think that there is some kind of magic that you can be above nature, then yes, but also what's above nature is a part of nature. There are people in Africa that pray and do miracles. Does it help the development of the point in the heart? There are no miracles. A miracle is something that breaches the laws of nature and acts against nature, and that is impossible. That can't be. If we don't know, and suddenly something happens that we don't understand, we can call it a miracle. But it's not a miracle. It's within the boundaries of the rules of nature. There are no miracles. There are no miracles in this world? No. Tell me, what is a miracle? It's something that's above the nature that an ordinary person can do. Dr. Leitman, an ordinary person doesn't understand these rules, that according to the way he sees, these things are impossible. And now he sees that it is possible. It's like a baby that, you know, you can push a button and there's light. He'll think, oh, that's a miracle. This is supernatural. So, is it really supernatural? These are rules that we still don't understand, that we're not familiar with. There are no miracles in principle. We're in a system that's entirely interconnected, it's round, and we have to learn how does it work. And if we'll understand how the entire system works, then there's nothing hidden, there are no miracles. Terence, I have a friend. Everything that he is asking the Creator for, he gives it to him. If I reach a state where everything that I ask for, I'll get it, does it mean that I'm a Kabbalist, that I'm an attainment? Again, everything that I'm asking for, the Creator gives me. Why? I don't know. Maybe he has connection with the Creator. He says that he prays for him. Why do you deserve it and someone else doesn't? He has protection or something? He says that he prays. Whatever he asks for, who answers your prayers? No one does. No one answers your prayers. It's all imaginations. It doesn't exist. All of nature is a system of laws where everything works according to very precise laws. If you know how to decipher these laws, you can see different phenomena. If you take a child to some complicated machine, it'll look to him like some kind of miracle. The same with us. But that's it. I understand, but there's a group of people, Kabbalists, that study with Nebuch. They understand these things, but every day there are people in Africa that pray, and if people continue praying, it's because the Creator is answering them. They simply have some kind of compensation, some inner supplementation that it seems to them that he's answering. Why should he answer? And who answers? This is the question. Who's answering? There's no one to answer them. So a person can imagine something. I want something. I'm imagining and I see this thing in front of me. This is how it works? Dr. Lakeman, a judge has only what his eyes see. Terence, can you explain? Dr. Lakeman, I'm a materialist and you can't move me from that. That's all there is. Stop believing different imaginations that you're developing in order to complicate your life. There are none. We're living inside of nature, and inside nature, we're nourished by nature, and we work accordingly. How come there should be some force that I'm praying to, that I'm asking of, and it influences me in return, and it's called the upper force or God? I'm inside a system. This system is closed. It's a closed system, and the more I feel the system, the more I identify with it, the more I can change myself and gradually benefit from being in interaction with the system. But that's it. There are no miracles. There's no magic or something. No. There's what's hidden from me or what is revealed to me. What is a prayer? The quicker you stop believing these things, these delusional things, the better off you'll be. So you'll work according to a judge has what his eyes see. That's it. And this will be true and real. We belong to a system where there are laws, and if we follow these laws, it doesn't work. The laws are working. You have to know what the laws of nature are and work correspondingly. This is what the wisdom of Kabbalah teaches. Terence, what is a prayer in the wisdom of Kabbalah? Dr. Lakeman, that I express myself, that I want to correct myself, that I want to bring myself closer to nature, the general, global, integral nature. This is called that I'm engaged in the wisdom of Kabbalah. How to receive all of reality as a single mechanism and myself in it. Terence, okay, if now I have problems at work or with my wife, or there are people that want to harm me and I'm praying for these problems to disappear, is it not a prayer? Dr. Lightman, yes, it changes you, it changes your attitude toward your wife, society, your job, and therefore things change. This is why it works, but not because you're praying to some upper force and that he changes nature for you.
Terence,
now let's talk a bit about Israel, the state of Israel. In Africa, Israel is well known, especially in Cameroon, because they have different military agreements. They're doing business with the military. And in Cameroon, for example, the president, he's already president for 36 years, and people are disappointed. The question is, why isn't Israel known due to the wisdom of Kabbalah? Israel is known for many things, but not for the wisdom of Kabbalah. In Israel, no one knows what the wisdom of Kabbalah is either, besides our group. Terence, but it is a tremendous wisdom. It's something exalted that comes from Abraham. Why are Israel not well known due to the wisdom of Kabbalah? Dr. Lightman, because it's against the ego. It's against human nature. And therefore, they don't want to hear about it. They don't want to acknowledge it. What does the wisdom of Kabbalah say? How to diminish myself, how to connect with others. I want to control others. That's what everyone says. And therefore, no one wants the wisdom of Kabbalah that talks about love, about connection, about having to concede to others. Therefore, the wisdom of Kabbalah isn't something that people want. Terence, exactly. This is what people resist. They say, how is it possible that Israel has such a wisdom, but they also have many problems? Dr. Lightman, no one's using the wisdom of Kabbalah in Israel. No one wants to use it. Terence, why is there no Kabbalistic group that can connect that connects in order to solve all of Israel's problems and pass the wisdom to the world? Because others don't want to accept this group. Others don't want to accept this group inside of Israel. You know how no one wants to accept us. I see, but in Africa, they don't understand this. They think that the wisdom of Kabbalah comes from Israel, and they don't understand how is it possible that a group of Kabbalists that did not connect yet, how is it that they didn't solve all of Israel's problems yet? You understand? Dr. Lightman, I understand this very well. I live this on a daily basis, but we have no choice. We'll have to live until it changes. In the meantime, we have to publicize the wisdom of Kabbalah within Israel, and because there will, and for there to be a bigger and stronger group, and also in all the other countries of the world, and also in Africa, in all countries as much as possible, and then gradually we'll begin in our connection to change the world. Terence, in the history of Kabbalah, were there tens who achieved the spiritual worlds and fell from that degree? Dr. Layton, of course. The destruction of the temple, it says about it that there were many tens that were in the attainment of the upper world, an attainment of love another as thyself, and they fell from that degree. And they destroyed their entire situation, both socially wise, politically wise, of course, spiritually wise, and they went into exile from spirituality and even in corporeality. Terence, a question from students. The Masach has several degrees. Are there several degrees in the Machsom too? The barrier? Yes, but we're as if talking about the Machsom as a one-time thing. When you cross from corporeality to spirituality and you remain then in spirituality. But the truth is that it's not exactly this way. It's entrances and exits several times this way where a person's on the border and then he enters. Terence, what does it mean that Ochzer, reflected light, turns into a vessel of reception? Can you explain this? Ochzer means my attitude toward others. The better I treat others, then this kind of attitude toward others, in it I start discovering the upper world. Terence, what does it mean, the purification of the masach of the screen? What does that mean? Dr. Lightman, that the intention in order to bestow, to be good to others, disappears. This means that the masach purifies. Terence, how to do it in a ten? How do you do it in a ten? If I still don't have a masach, can I think about such things? Dr. Lightman, you have to think about these things. You have to all the time think about love of others. How will you love them? Because inside your love for them, you will start feeling the upper world, the upper force, your soul. Because your soul is your connection with others. Terence, what do you have to do in order to start feeling the sefirot in the ten? If you're relating to your friends as all of them being in bestowal and love of others, and you too have to be this way toward them, that you connect with them, then you start feeling them as sefirot. that each of them is a kind of a special sphira for you. So what is a sphira? A sphira, it means that it shines, that every friend shines with a certain attribute of bestowal onto you, and every time his attribute of bestowal changes, and also you change, and then every time you change in the 10 from sphira to sphira, it's called the radiance of the Shekhinah. How do I see my friend as a sphira? Dr. Lightman, to the extent to which you love him, this is what you discover. In some of the sources, we read that the purpose of the Creator is to benefit His created beings with abundance. What kind of abundance are we talking about, Dr. Lightman? Abundance is fulfillment in what you feel and what you know from the general kli, from all of reality. What fulfills us is called abundance because we're in a desire to discover all of reality. And then it's called abundance. Terats. A student says that he read that before the correction, a person feels pleasure instead of delight. How can a person feel the light? What does it mean to feel the light? Dr. Lightman, to feel the fulfillment that if I want to bestow good to others, then in this feeling I feel a special force called light. Why are we drawn so much to sex and money? Dr. Lightman, food, sex, family, money, honor, knowledge, these are actually our natural inclinations that we have to arrange, correct. But it has nothing to do with spirituality, it's only as a means. Terence, when I reach spirituality, money and sex interest me less? Dr. Lightman, no, food, sex, family, these are things that are related to the body. There are those that want it more, less. Money, honor, knowledge, also, there are those with more of an inclination toward that or less. The main thing is that all of these inclinations will not be to the detriment of others, not to the detriment of anyone else. Terence, can you please explain what is light? Dr. Lightman, light is the soothing of the desire on different levels, calming it down. The desire is a deficiency, and the light that fills the deficiency, something that fills the deficiency, is called light. Why the Kabbalists use the word light? Dr. Lightman, because it's like the light of the sun, the light of the mind. That's why they use it this way. Terence, is there a difference between a 10 and a group? Dr. Lightman, a 10 is actually a group. And if there's a big group and it has many 10s, then still there are 10s. Like Moses divided the people of Israel into 10s, hundreds, thousands. That 10 is the essence of connection. Terence, Dr. Lightman, we're finishing this interview. First of all, I'd like to thank you for your answers and your patience. We almost have 134,000 people following us on Facebook. It's the Facebook page in African. Yesterday I talked to a student, and he told me, asked him, we had a yeshivat chaverim, a gathering of friends, and I asked him, how did he come? And he said, he read a bit about what the wisdom of Kabbalah is, but when he saw our interview together, then it really excited him. And I want to tell you that all of these interviews help people and awakens the point in the heart, and I'd like to thank you, and maybe you'd like to say something to Africa, Dr. Leitman. If so, then of course, please, I'm asking for more interviews, if possible, let's have more and more of them, and hello to all of our friends in Africa. I really hope to see them once, and to meet them here in Israel, and to visit them. I'm really interested for you to get to know us, to get to know the wisdom of Kabbalah, and we'll be together in one heart. Good luck. And thank you. Thank you, Rav.